Chapter 4. The St. Bartholomew's Day Massacre.
On the evening before St. Bartholomew's Day, the city gates were locked. Boats were tied to the riverbank, and many weapons were collected. The houses of the Protestants were all marked with a cross. That evening, I invited everybody to see a new ballet. Le Ballet Comique de la Reine, the Comic Ballet of the Queen. I wrote the story myself and was very proud of it. It was performed at a banquet and everybody enjoyed it very much. At around 2 in the morning, my men rang all the church bells. Then they attacked Coligny's house, killing everybody in their way. They wore white shirts and decorated their hats with white crosses. The attackers ran into the admiral's room, carrying swords, daggers, lances, and guns. Coligny was still recovering from the murder attempt a few days before. They killed him in his bed and threw him out of the window. The crowds pulled his body through the streets and threw it into the River Seine. The bells rang from all the towers in Paris. Torches were lit, and a night of murder, robbery, and burning began all over the city. Protestants were murdered in their beds or chased to the tops of houses and thrown onto the road. Bodies were pulled along the streets by ropes and thrown into the Seine. Large piles of bodies were collected outside the Louvre Palace for my son and I to see. Victims were stabbed on bridges and then pushed into the bloody water of the River Seine. As the survivors began to swim, stones were thrown at them. Women were pulled along the streets. A pack of dogs ran freely, thirsty for the blood in the streets. I ran from window to window of the palace, taking pleasure in the murder of the Protestants below. Was I really an evil woman? In the chaos, people began to steal everything they could find. Valuable libraries were robbed. Jewelers, shopkeepers, shoemakers, hatmakers, and silk merchants were murdered in this wave of killings. By midday, an official ceasefire was announced, but the killing continued and extended to other cities of France for 2 more months. Over 20,000 Protestants died in the massacre. On the 2nd of September, a horseman arrived in Rome from Paris with the news of the success of the massacre. He brought Coligny's head with him. Pope Gregory XIII gave the messenger 100 coins as a reward. Later, a medal was made with the Pope's head on one side and the angel of death on the other. I was very satisfied with the success of my plan. Now Coligny was dead, I had complete control of my son, the king, again. After that, I began to work on the destruction of the power of the Guise family. But in 1574, Charles died too, and my younger son Henry became King Henry III. In contrast to his brothers, I had only a limited influence over him. He surrounded himself with bad advisers, and the royal family became very unpopular. I worried about the future of the Valois family, as Henry was sterile and had no heirs. When my youngest son, Francis of Valois, died on the 10th of June, 1584, it was clear to everybody that the rule of the Valois family would end with the death of Henry. I could do no more.
Catherine de' Medici died 15 years later, on the 5th of January 1589, a short time before the murder of her son Henry, on the 1st of August 1589. The years of her son's reigns have been called the age of Catherine de' Medici, because she was so clearly the real power behind the throne.